Hello and welcome to ArXiv LLM Daily EN. This is the show where we look at a new ArXiv paper every day and try to keep up with the ridiculous speed of AI innovation, but in a way that stays practical. The paper we're looking at today is Building the Web for Agents, a Declarative Framework for Agent-Web Interaction on ArXiv. Why now? Because it proposes a declarative way for agents to interact with the web, which is a big deal if you're trying to make agent workflows and web automations more reliable and less brittle. Mark will look at it from the field, real-world usage. Jamie will look at the AI and technical side. Concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing and what need does it meet today? Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
In real life, teams are stuck with fragile glue. You build a Selenium or Playwright script to log into a vendor portal, click three buttons and download a CSV. It works for a week, then a cookie pop-up or a class name change breaks everything. Scraping is the same story. Infinite scroll, dynamic DOMs, and A/B tests make selectors drift, so you end up babysitting automations. There's also no standard contract across sites, so every integration is bespoke, with its own quirks for auth, rate limits, and error states. On top of that, permissions and security slow you down. You need to prove the agent won't press buy now, handle MFA safely, and log every action for audit. Observability is thin. When something fails at step 7, you have to replay a screen recording or comb through ad hoc logs. Teams want a consistent way to express what the agent should achieve on the web, have permissions baked in, and get traceable, verifiable steps without rewriting brittle scripts for each site.
So if I sum that up, today feels like duct tape. Every site needs custom code, it breaks on small UI changes, and security plus audit are bolt-ons instead of built-ins. What people want is a clear contract. Tell the agent the outcome, keep it within guardrails, and see exactly what it did. Jamie, from the AI side, why is this kind of approach showing up now?
We're at the point where agents and orchestrators are moving from toy demos to multi-step workflows, and that demands structured, verifiable tool use. A declarative layer fits because it lets the LLM plan at the goal level and map that to well-defined web capabilities instead of guessing CSS selectors in free text. Technically, larger context windows help the model keep state across steps, and tool APIs have matured so we can give the model strict input-output schemas. We've also learned that RLHF and evaluation loops work better when actions are structured. It's easier to reward or debug a typed action than a vague clicked around. Costs and latency have improved enough that planning plus execution is practical, and we're seeing better browser automation hooks and DOM adapters that expose stable semantics. Put together, the ecosystem is ready for a declarative contract that agents can plan against and operators can monitor and secure. At the core, the paper proposes a declarative framework for agent web interaction. Declarative here means you specify the goal and the available web capabilities, not the click-by-click script. So instead of telling an agent, find the CSS selector, click, wait, scrape, you give it a contract like, on site X, there's a capability get product price SKU that returns a normalized price if the product page is reachable and the user has read permission. The framework sits between your agent, orchestrator, and the browser or web APIs, acting as an adapter with typed actions, preconditions, effects, and safety constraints. The point is reliability, observability, and verification. Each action has a schema, you can check pre-post conditions, and you get structured traces for audit. Compared to classic Selenium Playwright scripts or ad hoc scraping wrappers, this moves from brittle imperative steps to reusable semantic verbs. It's related to browser automation tools and semantic wrappers, but the emphasis here is a richer, site-specific declarative contract that agents can plan against rather than hand-coded flows that break when a div class changes.
So basically, you give the agent a menu of safe verbs per site and say what you want, not how to click. And this layer sits in the middle, your planner on one side, the web on the other, with a clear contract in between. Mark, take us into something concrete. If a team just wants an agent to fetch a price or fill a form, what changes with this approach?
A simple one. A merchandising team needs today's price for a SKU on a retailer site. First time setup, we add a site manifest that declares capabilities like get product price, SKU, and submit contact form, name, email, message. That's a small YAML or JSON file with inputs, outputs, and guardrails, plus hints like stable labels or ARIA roles. We also define permissions, read-only for price and for the form, rate limits, and a domain allow list. In code, the product team writes a short task. Goal: retrieve price for SKU 1234 from retailer A. The agent sees the goal, picks get product price, the adapter navigates, resolves selectors using the semantic hints, and returns a typed response like amount 19.99, currency, USD, timestamp. In the logs, devs don't see a mess of XPath. They see a trace. Step 1. Open product page preconditions met. Step 2. Extract price value 19.99. Post condition. Normalized currency OK. If something fails, it's clear which capability broke. Maintenance drops a lot. If the site changes its CSS, we update the manifest selector hints once, not every downstream script. And because it's declarative, the agent won't go off script. It can't add to cart unless that capability exists and is allowed.
Put differently, you codify the safe doors and labels for that site, and the agent only uses those doors. When the hallway changes paint color, you tweak the label once, and all tasks keep working. Great, Mark, let's stretch it. How does this look for a multi-step workflow that spans several web apps and some internal data?
We ran a pilot like this for finance ops. The agent has to: 1. Read MRR from a SaaS billing dashboard, 2. Cross-check anomalies against our internal DB, and 3. Open a ticket in the vendor portal if thresholds are exceeded. We define declarative capabilities across 3 surfaces: read metric, metric name on the dashboard, query customer anomalies, customer ID on our internal API, and create vendor ticket, customer ID issue type notes on the vendor portal. The product owner wrote the high-level goal and rules. If delta 5% week over week, open a vendor ticket with evidence. Infra handled secrets and session isolation, setting permission scopes per site. Compliance added audit requirements, screenshots allowed for read actions, full trace logging, and an approval step before ticket creation. At runtime, the agent chains these capabilities, and we get a clean cross-system trace with per-site guardrails. Collaboration changed too. Instead of PMs filing one-off JIRA tasks to fix the scraper, they request new capabilities or tweaks to the manifest, which infra and the site owner review in a PR. It's a much tighter loop.
Jamie, connect the dots for us, technically. How does the agent turn that high-level goal into those safe verbs, and what's happening under the hood in terms of planning, execution, and verification?
The planner sees the goal and a catalog of capabilities from each site manifest. It decomposes the goal into a plan like read metric, query customer anomalies, create vendor ticket, because the capabilities advertise their preconditions and effects. Execution runs through the framework's browser or DOM adapter, which abstracts navigation and element interaction. Verification comes from checking post conditions. Did read metric return a number within validation bounds? And from typed outputs the LLM can reason about. Observability is baked in. You log the structured actions, inputs, outputs, and any evidence artifacts. On runtime characteristics, you typically have 1 to 2 LLM calls for planning and occasional replanning on errors, plus fast deterministic calls to the adapters. Interactive use, user in the loop, benefits from streaming intermediate traces. Batch use can amortize costs by caching page fragments or reusing sessions. Cost-wise, the LLM planning steps dominate. The browser work is mostly fixed. You can control cost and latency with shallow plans, capability caching, and guardrails that prevent exploratory clicks.
That's clear. Jamie, let's go under the hood on constraints. What does the paper say you need in place, and where does this approach still struggle?
Prerequisites first. You need semantic hooks the framework can rely on, stable labels, ARIA roles, or site-level annotations. The paper assumes you can provide wrappers or manifests per site. Those can be hand-authored or semi-synthesized from examples. There's a trust model. Actions execute in a sandboxed browser with least privilege, with permission scopes enforced by the manifest. Technical constraints include state management across pages and sessions, partial observability on dynamic single-page apps, and robust error recovery when the DOM changes mid-flight. The big limitations are scalability, keeping manifests current across many sites, and robustness when the UI changes dramatically beyond your semantic hints. Security and permission boundaries are stricter here by design. The agent can only do what's declared, which can be limiting if no capability exists yet. The authors point to future work, like better automatic synthesis of wrappers from demonstrations, stronger verification of effects, and browser-native support for exposing semantics, so you rely less on brittle selectors.
So, in plain terms, this helps a lot, but you still need some upfront annotation and engineering discipline. If a site ships a redesign, you'll touch the manifest, and the guardrails are a feature. You won't accidentally press dangerous buttons, but you also can't do new things until someone adds that capability. Mark, from an org standpoint, what needs to be set up so this doesn't become another pile of brittle configs?
We treat site capabilities like first-class code. There's a repo per domain with manifests, small adapters, and tests. Every change is a PR reviewed by a site owner and security. CI spins up a headless browser, runs example tasks, and validates post conditions. Permissions map to our RBAC. We issue scoped service accounts and store secrets in a vault. Logs go to our SIAM with PII redaction, and we maintain a sandbox environment that mirrors production for the most volatile sites. Rollout is staged. Canary tasks run daily before enabling a capability for all agents. Finally, we document a catalog of available verbs so PMs know what's possible and can request new ones. That governance layer is what keeps it from decaying.
Jamie, any last integration pointers for builders who want to try this without overcomplicating things on day one?
Start narrow. Define a few high-value verbs per site with tight schemas and clear post conditions. Add timeouts and fallback paths. E.g., if read metric fails, capture evidence and notify a human rather than retrying forever. Keep planning shallow at first and cache stable subresults like product page fragments. Instrument cost and latency per capability and per plan step so you can prune expensive patterns. And keep everything in a sandbox until you have good traces. Then graduate to production with canaries and feature flags. That gets you most of the benefit without a huge upfront investment.
Great. So the big picture is, define safe verbs, let the agent plan over them, and back it with tests, logs, and permissions. It cuts flakiness and makes web automation more like building with APIs, even when the API is a browser. We'll get into how well it works in practice, numbers and comparisons, next.
On results, the authors evaluate on a mix of scripted web tasks and small live site trials. Think e-commerce price checks, form submissions with confirmation, dashboard metric reads, and simple multi-step flows. They report task completion rates and fidelity. Did the agent extract the right fields and respect side effect constraints, plus latency and a qualitative take on observability? Versus a raw browser agent baseline, the declarative layer yields roughly a 20 to 30 point lift in task success on the scripted suite, mainly because planning is anchored to typed capabilities and pre-post conditions. Compared to handwritten playwright flows, it's similar when the UI is unchanged, but stays 10 to 15 points higher after minor page updates, because you patch the manifest once instead of every script. Unauthorized actions were effectively zero in the declarative setting, since the agent can't call undeclared verbs. Latency goes up a bit, planning adds one or two LLM calls, but the browser time dominates. Cost is likewise concentrated in the planning steps. Caveat, most benchmarks are controlled or semi-synthetic. On truly wild pages, success rates dip, though the traces remain much easier to debug.
So for folks listening, that means fewer retries and less time spelunking through screen recordings. A 20 to 30 point bump on scripted tasks roughly translates to going from half the runs need a rerun to most runs just work. And when a site changes, you fix one manifest instead of chasing 10 broken scripts. There is a small latency and cost bump from the planner, but you get guardrails and better logs in return. Mark, what should teams expect once this hits production with messy pages and real permissions?
In production, expect a haircut. If the paper shows, say, 80% completion in controlled tests, plan for 60 to 70% on day one across a mixed portfolio of sites. Edge cases bite, feature flags, CAPTCHA variants, marketing pop-ups. You'll also see infra overhead. Sandboxed browsers, secret rotation, and more logging ad seconds. The mitigations are straightforward. Roll out capability by capability with canaries, add human-in-the-loop approvals for right actions, and set pragmatic fallbacks. Capture evidence and file a draft ticket instead of hard failing. Weekly manifest hygiene pays off, and a small test suite per capability catches regressions before users do.
And to close us out, Mark, who benefits the most from this approach, and when does it really shine?
Teams with cross-site workflows get the biggest lift. Ops, finance, procurement, support, anywhere you read from one web app and act in another. Companies automating repetitive web tasks at scale benefit because capabilities become shared infrastructure instead of throwaway scripts. It shines when the target surfaces are relatively stable, or you can invest a bit in wrappers and governance. Clear RBAC, a manifest repo with reviews, and CI that runs headless checks. If you're in pure greenfield chaos or need ad hoc one-offs, it's heavier than a quick script, but for ongoing automations, it compounds nicely.
Bottom line, this paper turns web automation for agents from brittle click scripts into a safer, declarative contract with better planning and auditability. Worth the small overhead if you care about reliability. To finish, a quick reminder. The English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on nbilotti.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for ArcsiveLLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.